If you've known me for very long, we're almost 5 years into this, you've learned something early on probably about me. I like to sleep. I am not a morning person. I never have. In high school, I was part of the marching band. And one of the brilliant things, I don't know why, but I guess it's just so they could fit it in. And our neighbors hated us because we were a 300-person marching band. And there's apartments right next to the band's practice field. And there was rules in place. So one year, so we had what was called 0 hour. That was when our marching band practiced for whatever performance we were going to be doing. That was the hour and a half before school started. So there was, I remember distinctly, one year, our band director thought, well, let's welcome the neighbors. And if you're familiar with 2001 Space Odyssey, that music, dong, 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 wah, wah, while we're all facing toward the apartment complex. Those were not bright moments in my life because I'm not a morning person. Getting to school at 6 a.m. was not a fun thing. Again, I'm a bit of a night. I've always been more of a night owl. I probably couldn't tell you a whole lot about those sunrises. I've watched sunrises with hot air balloons because Albuquerque is the home of the International Balloon Fiesta. In October, I've been at different parts, but moving to Baker has changed me in some significant ways. Y'all like to get up. And I've picked up new hobbies you've influenced me in. I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that this past spring I'd be meeting people at 3:30 in the morning to go turkey hunting. Duck hunting has continues to change me, and one of the neat things is Cliff Curtis has taught me is the brilliance of being in place over a duck blind 30 minutes before sunrise with a cup of coffee and just the silence to watch the sunrise. And if you follow me on social media, you found that I found an incredible appreciation for sunrises. This was about a month ago here as I got ready to come in on a Sunday morning. There's a simplicity in the sunrise. Many of you would attest to it. One of silence, one of expectation of what is to come, one of promise that of what might happen, and I can say I've come to fully enjoy the display of God's creative best in the sunrise, in the midst of the dawn. And so as we enter into this time and season of Advent, a season it's a based in understanding of preparation and expectation as we head into the Christmas season. Advent is similar to the expectation of dawn. It's an understanding that the light is coming. We can see the glimpses of the pink and the purples and the reds and the oranges along the horizon, but the sun isn't up yet. We're kind of in this holding pattern because there's still these long stretches of shadow and there's places of darkness, and the noises of the day aren't quite there yet because there's not as much activity as people are beginning to awaken. But we're reminded that Advent is the season of the dawn, where we live in the space between the darkness of a world without Christ and the light of the world with Christ, where we see the light is coming, yet it's not fully there. And so while we enthusiastically observe this season, We remember the story of the manger and Mary and Joseph and Christ's birth with the angels and the shepherds and all the different parts of that. The coming of the light is John puts it. We're reminded that we are still Advent people. The church is still about the Advent, that as people who have put their faith in Christ, we acknowledge that we are no longer people of the dark, people of the night. We are people of the light. Even while Christ's return is still before us. And that's what Paul is writing. And I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 13. We'll start with verse 8. But Romans chapter 13, it says this: let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love to one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Remember what Paul is not very long. He's encountered the risen Christ. He and the church, many remember within the disciples, they walked and talked with him. There's a lot of people in the midst of Paul's writing that have encountered either Christ or people that encountered Christ directly. And Paul is reminding the church, yeah, we expect Christ to come back any day. Be ready. There's this expectation, and in verse 11, he says, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. We're reminded we are Advent people, people of the dawn. We're charged to live in the reality that the kingdom of God is now, and yet at the same time, there's this still to come in its fulfillment. So we're to be living examples of the difference that light makes. So on this first Sunday of Advent, we lit this candle that symbolizes hope, because it's a reminder. And we are to be a reminder of the hope that we have in Christ, who came in a stable so long ago. At the same time, it's also a reminder of a hope that we have because Christ will come back again. We are a people of light in a world that is still so cloaked, covered in darkness, and without hope. And we are called to live, to love, to serve, to celebrate, to mourn, and to grieve, all in the midst of the light of hope. The light has come, and the light is coming. It's both. So this morning, as we look at this text in Romans chapter 13, we realize that Paul and his readers fully expect Christ to come back at any point. That's why he says, make sure you don't leave any debts. Take care of things. Be ready for the twinkling of an eye. You know, because it could have been so easy just not to care about anything. because I'm going to be gone. No big deal. You know, let them worry about that, you know. But he's saying, hey, take care of things, because we live in the present, but yet also with an understanding of what's to come. We live with the hope of what's coming and the reality of that future. So Paul is emphasizing to his readers, they need to understand the importance of the present time. And so as he wrote this letter, he doesn't do it with this lofty words of far off. He does it with an understanding that he doesn't need to look through life with these rose-colored glasses, but he acknowledges that in our current world, there is suffering, there is death, there is pain. And yet Romans, we need to remember, it's Rome. This is the place of the Colosseum, the torture of the church, the so many displays of horrid violence. These people that Paul is writing to are well acquainted with pain and suffering. They're well acquainted in the present of that time of how messy life is, and that just because Christ had come, things weren't and sin wasn't completely removed. Suffering and sin still existed, and the early church was very familiar with it. The reminder of the realities of the present time isn't that far off from something we could look into in our own context. Yeah, we don't have the Colosseum in that context. But we can still, it doesn't take much to talk about the difficult times or seasons in life. It doesn't take much to acknowledge that there's sin and there's violence and there's depravity and all these other things, and especially over these last couple of years, how difficult things have been for multiple reasons. The reality of suffering and pain and grief is still evident. And yet Paul reminds us that this present time is different for the people of Christ. While the church is well acquainted with the reality of sin and suffering in the world, at the same time we are aware of the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection of Christ in our lives. For Paul, the present age is a thin veil that is kind of a small dividing line between the world of suffering and sin from the world of glory of God that's to come. The early church lived in the midst of this excitement within this thin veil, that within the dawn of the coming of Christ. And it's important for us to understand that as well. I had quite a Wednesday this past week. And it really sums up the illustration of this. I had, we lost Byron and yet celebrate because we know where he is. That there is a future and a hope that we will see him again. At the same time, our neighbor, our next door neighbor, lost his wife. And sadly, I don't know that they fully understand that there was hope. And so the grief and the mourning is overwhelming because it's limited to the time on this earth. It's still important for us to understand that there's a present age, but yet we live differently because we understand differently. We're a couple thousand years later from Paul's writing, but the cultural differences are different. But we're still a church well acquainted with the sin and the suffering, and yet we are still aware of also the power of Christ, the power of the resurrection in our own lives and within the community of faith. We're still living in the midst of the thin veil, and must not forget that the hope that is tied to the dawn of the coming reign of Christ. The power of our experience in the midst of this time, in this present time, is because of the Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those of us who follow Christ are already to live as if Christ has returned. Paul uses this image that is not unfamiliar with in New Testament writings of that they have awoken. It's an opportunity to point out that those following Christ, because they're no longer still asleep, they should not be asleep. They should be open to the realities of what's going on as we are following Christ. It's this idea in reference to the resurrection. You were asleep. You are no longer asleep. You recognize that we have different priorities. We see things as they really are. We're not blinded. And it's a reference that Paul wants to continually remind the church that we are awake in Christ. This is something we should already know. It's a reminder of our baptism. It's a reminder of the current, as we participate in communion, of the banquet that's yet to come. In Christ, God has invaded the old age to bring about the new age. And so we, as the people of Christ, need to recognize that we are called to live into that reality as the people of light as we await Christ's return. We are messengers of hope of what is to come. So as Paul, he writes in this text that dawn was a busy time. In this era and in that geography of the thing, it gets extremely hot during the day. So as soon as dawn comes, it's filled with activity. People are getting things done in the midst of the, so that they can be ready for when they need to settle out because of the heat. And the implication here is that the church, it's time to get moving. It's time to get busy. And we can't afford to move slowly, because there's still a lot to be done. So since we are the people of light, we are called to live as people of the light. We don't deny it. We don't try and hide it. Darkness, especially in the midst of this passage within Romans, is whatever happened in dark is kind of whatever's permissible. If you don't get caught, you don't get caught, so we hide. And they would do all these nasty things. And that yet the church is called to live consistently and constantly as people that understand that the light has shined. So those who live in the light, those who follow Jesus, we're called to live differently. We're called to a higher standard. We should not participate in the acts of the night where everything is permissible. So in verse 13, Paul lists several acts that are associated with the darkness. Carousing and drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, jealousy. And this list isn't exhaustive to what would go on. And these terms in the Greek are really a reference to these banquets that honored Dionysus, the god of wine, the Greek god of wine. It was always associated with drunkenness and wild parties, where everything goes. And these acts are always things that happened in the darkness, where we try to hide them, and they're used to contrast the difference of those who are in the light and how we're called to act. Those who have been baptized, those who follow Christ, you have been transformed and continue to be transformed as we conform our lives to Christ. We're clothed not in the garments of the world, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he reminds us, don't be so focused on just satisfying, like the world does, the urges of this flesh. But instead, intentionally put on love, grace, truth, and hope. The things of Christ. The people of Christ are called. In fact, we're expected to live as though the light already rules the world. There should be a difference in how we live. We are to live as though Christ has returned and made things right, because we are supposed to be a glimpse of that kingdom to come. We're supposed to be bearers of that hope now in the midst of this world. This is not a call just for the early church of Rome, but it's a call for us. We are the people of the dawn. We're people of Advent as we live in hope, even while we can still see that there's shadows of darkness around us. Our call is to live as people of the light, so we begin to celebrate Advent today, the season of the dawn. We acknowledge that Christ came, and our lives are radically transformed because of it. We're no longer people of darkness. We used to be, but we are no longer. We are radically transformed because Christ came. We're no longer to behave as if we were still people of the night. Live as people of the light instead. And yes, we can acknowledge that the kingdom of God hasn't fully arrived in all of its glory. All things aren't made right. And so we don't deny the reality of suffering and sin within our world. But instead, we live as a glimpse of the world to come. Even now, in the midst of this mess of decay and the heartbreak of sin, we're to be a glimpse of the power of Jesus. We're to be a community of hope, of grace, of goodness, of righteousness, of love that displays the quality of God's kingdom. And we announce his reign. We are harbingers of God's kingdom. So live as a people who exist in a different kingdom that is actively breaking into this world, just like the morning breaks into the night. And so as we have lit this candle of hope today, may it be a reminder of us today and as we go throughout this week that we carry the hope of Christ, because he has come, and yet he will come again.